So I wonder today, I've got three questions for you. The first one is this. What is it that you're made to do? What is it that gets you up in the morning? You know, do you know? Do you know what excites you? Do you know what brings you alive? Do you know what is it that you actually really love getting your teeth into? What are you passionate about? You know, is it being a mum? Is it studying? Is it baking? Is it driving? Is it preaching? Is it being a musician? Is it fixing telephones? You know, what is it that brings you alive? I love that Jo was up here singing this morning. She doesn't know I'm going to say this. Jo and Dave are absolutely awesome, and we've done life with them for a number of years, and Jo's led the youth work, Dave's played on the bass, done all the tech stuff, loads of the electric stuff that you see in here. You know, these guys are just phenomenal at serving the house of God, and they've served, and Jo did youth work for 3 years, 4 years. But her heart is always being creative, always. Like, you could cut her open and you would find that Jo loves making things. She loves singing. It's what she always wanted to do. But she put it down and said, I'll serve you. But then there was a time she had Josh, and what, you know, she was doing with the youth work wasn't going to be possible. And so we kind of went back to her and said, hey, you know, Jo, actually, we'd really love you to come alongside Dave and Kat and, like, be their number twos, be their, you know, be their cheer in the morning, and actually take that role of, you know, within the creative. And her biggest smile on her face, you would not have imagined. And Jo, this month, has totally worked her socks off. You know, March is full of different creative events, and Jo has been here morning, noon, and night, working, because it comes out of her, because she knows what she was made to do, and it is what God has put within her hands. So this morning, what are you made to do? You know, it says in the Bible, doesn't it, that God has made us. He made us on purpose. He created your inmost being. He knows how you're made. He's made you to do something. I wonder, do you know what it is? You know, are you sat there today wondering, actually, is there anything good in me? Then I want to tell you this morning there is. You know, God loves you and he's made you for a reason. And you just need to discover what it is. Find out what it is that you are made to do. The second question is this. What is in your hand? What is in your hand? When God called Moses, he had a staff in his hand, and he was going to take him to Pharaoh, and he wanted him to take the children of Israel out of Egypt all the way to the promised land. And God said to Moses, you know, Moses saying, I can't do this, I can't do it. And God just says, what is it in your hand? And it was a staff, and he took the staff, and God said, throw it on the ground. And as he threw it on the ground, it became a snake. And God can take what is in your hand, and he can use it for his power and for his glory. And I don't know whether what your gifts and talents are this morning, but I want to tell you, you have got something in your hand. I don't know what position you're in. Where has God placed you? Because that too is what is in your hand. You know, the situation that you are in is not an accident. God has put you there on purpose. You know, King David, if you go into the Old Testament and you hear the story, King David was a shepherd boy. All he could do was look after sheep. You know, God wants him to be the king of Israel. And he could have looked at being the king and thought, right, what do I need to do to train to be the king of Israel? I need to get my armor. I need to get fighting. I need to do all this. But God didn't take him on that path. God said, what is in your hand? What was in King David's hand was a sling and a stone. And when King David, who wasn't king obviously then, when he was a young boy, he went to the armies, and his brothers were fighting, the Israelite army were fighting the Philistines. And there was a horrible man, a big man, who was threatening them and who was basically mocking them. And he was saying, you know what, I'm Goliath and you're all scared of me. And I am, basically he's saying, I am more important than God. And David came into the camp and he was like, what on earth are you doing to his brothers and to all this army? He's like, you know, why are you scared of this man? You have the power and the authority of the Lord of hosts, of the King of kings of heaven. And he went to see King Saul and he said, I'll fight him. And King Saul tried his armor on. He tried to make him something he wasn't. But David, who wasn't king at the time, said, no, it's all right. I don't want that. I want to go out just in the power of God. And he took what was in his hand. He took a stone, he took his sling, and he swung it, and he hit Goliath on the forehead with what was in his hand. Goliath fell. David took his sword of Goliath, chopped his head off. He used what was in his hand. He didn't try to be somebody he wasn't. He didn't even go for position. He didn't go for anything else, but he said, I will use what is in my hand. The other thing that is in your hand is time. You know, we all have the same amount of time. I wonder what you do with your time. You know, what do you do with the 24 hours in your day, with the 60 minutes in each hour, with the 60 seconds in each minute? You know, do you realize that is in your hand? You know, you have time. We all feel we're so busy, but you know what? We stand back and we cut everything away. We have time. Guys, you have time. What is it that you're doing with your time? What is it you're doing with your finance? You know, we can spend it in a million ways. What are you doing with your finance? What are you doing with what is in your hand? Are you investing in them? And are you investing them in others? So I talked about Tabs and Josh earlier. So what about you? For Joseph, it was a tomb. You know, for the farmer or the man, it was a donkey. But I wonder, what are your gifts? What is in your hand? There is something. You might not feel there is something. You know, you might feel like you're struggling and life's been tough, but there is something in your hand. And when the children at school are struggling, I'm a mum of three, I've seen this so many times, you know, teachers and parents get together and they try and find the one thing that their child is good at. They try and find the one thing that they can do well. It might be sport, it might be music, it might be dance, it might even be skateboarding. It might be helping people. And the teachers will try and find their one thing. Because when a child begins to operate in the gifts that they have been given, they suddenly begin to do other things well as well. And something inside of them changes because they start to believe in themselves. And you know, it really doesn't matter what the one thing is. You know, whatever that one thing is impacts the rest of that child's life. And they excel in that one area, but also their weaknesses get stronger as well. And they begin to step into their potential, and they begin to step into who they have been made and called to be. And so I want to challenge you this morning. You might look at your life and you might think, actually, I don't want that gift. I don't want to be, I want to do this. But actually, if you take the very thing that you have been given and you excel in that, then other things around your life will start to happen as well. And you'll have a more fulfilled life. You'll have a happier life because God has designed you in that way. And it may not seem important, and it may not seem insignificant. It may seem insignificant. But when we're faithful with the little that we have been given, then God will give us much. And we all dream. Do you dream of doing amazing things? Do you dream of doing something amazing? I dream of doing amazing things. I dream of doing amazing things. But I know that as I'm faithful with what is in my hand, that God will open up my future. I was that little girl with a squeaky recorder. Do you love, if you're a parent, do you love recorders? So my gift was playing the recorder, which I'm sure my parents probably hated for ages. But you know, that recorder became a flute that became part of a band, and God gave me confidence to do some of the things I'm doing now, I believe, because I started off as that little girl playing the recorder. And I don't know what you've started off in your life with, but I can tell you, you know what, playing the recorder, like, must have drove everyone crazy because it squeaks. But God uses the things that just seem almost disdainful, if I can say that. Almost, you know, something that people maybe kind of go, oh, about. And God can use those. So don't ever belittle what God has given you. So this morning, don't sit around waiting for the dream. Don't sit around waiting for things to change. Don't be too busy or too stressed or just too stuck in, this is the way it's always been. Don't look at other people and say, you know what, I'm not going to do this because actually I want to do what they're doing, or I want what they've got. But instead, look at what is in your hand. Realize that it's amazing, and it's in your hand, so it's for you to use. Maybe it's not what you've dreamed, but do it well. Be consistent in it. You know, be reliable. Turn up. If you're doing something, turn up when you say you're going to turn up. Don't be the person who accepts it. You know, on Planning Centre, if you're on our system, if you're serving here, don't accept it and not turn up. You know, say, no, I'm in. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take what God has given me, and I am going to use it well. Be reliable. Be conscientious. You know, don't just do it to the least, but do it to the most. You know, do if you're playing in a worship song, you know, make sure you don't just know the chords, but you know the intro, the outro, you know how it's going to end, you know where it could go, you know what it's going to do. You know that if the congregation are so praising God, you might do that last bit again. You know, be ready for what God has called you to do. You know, if you're going to buy an Easter egg, buy as many as you can. And, you know, whatever you're going to do for God, whatever you're going to do in your life, do it to the best you can do. Yes. And like the donkey, who knows when God will take what you offer him and grow it. Yes. And that is my last point. Will you give your gift to God? You know, will you use what God has given you for him? Will you give back to him what you have been given? Because everything we have comes from God, it says in the Bible. Will you use your gifts to serve the church? Will you invest in it? Will you serve the kingdom of God here? Whether you're an accountant, a teacher, maybe you're in the hospitality trade. You know, maybe you're good with money, maybe you're good with kids. Whatever you're good with, will you use it for God? Because that's the question that he asked this morning. The donkey could have been any old donkey. Could have carried things around, you know, could have kept his master happy. But in the hands of Jesus, he became a chariot of the King of Kings. As you give your gift to God, something inside of it changes. The donkey had a part to play. And each one of us here has a part to play. And God has a plan and purpose for each and every one of us. And this morning, you might be here, you might not know him. You might be thinking that that involves people that are Christians. Actually, you know, God doesn't want anything from me. But I want to tell you this morning that that is not true. That God made you. God loves you. And God wants you to know him. God wants to help you with your life. As you invest yourself in him, he invests way more in you. He wants you to know that there is a true purpose for your life. And Andy's going to come up at the end and he's going to explain how you can do that. Because I want you to have that opportunity. Every week we give you the opportunity to find Jesus Christ, to find that plan and purpose for your life, to have that relationship with him. Because we believe it is the best thing in the world. You know what? That's why we're here this morning. That's why we're celebrating. You know, it's why we want to give it back to God, because he gave it to us. So there'll be an opportunity for you at the end. And if that's you, you know, just maybe be praying and saying, God, do you want me to meet you this morning? Because he does. You know, God, are you really there? Be asking those questions. Don't leave today without accepting him as your friend, Lord, and Savior. And this morning, if you are a Christian, will you give God your gift? You know, if it's making money, will you make money like you've never made money before and commit to sowing it into the house of God? You know, if it's bringing people, will you commit to making as many friends as you can and bringing them to find Jesus Christ, who loves them and who wants them to have life eternal? If it's music, will you give God your talents? You know, if it's cutting people's hair, will you cut people's hair and chat to them as, you know, as they're in the chair? Whatever it is you're doing, will you do it 100% for God? And as we give our talents to God, he promises to grow them. Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to finish with this. So if the band want to come up. Matthew 25 says that a man went on a journey and he left his servants with his property. He left them, he divided it up among them because he was going for a while and he didn't just want to leave all his treasure in a big pile somewhere. He wanted to give it to people that would take it and that would use it and would invest it. And he didn't just give bits and pieces. You know, we read the story, if you know the story, it says that he gave to one 5 talents. He gave to another 2 talents and he gave to another 1 talent. Now, does anyone know what a talent is? Any of the scholars, the biblical scholars? I'm looking at my father-in-law here. No. So a talent is coinage, and it is, 1 talent is 34 kilograms of coins. So I kind of Googled this morning, if it was pound coins, how much would a talent be? And a kilogram would be 1 500-pound coins. Okay, so a bag of 500 pound coins would be 1 kilogram. So if you times that by 34, you've got 34 bags of pound coins for the one that got the one talent. And sometimes we look at the parable of the talents and we think, you know, the one that got five, wow, that's amazing. The one that got two, well, you know, that was pretty good. And the one that was got one, we kind of feel a little bit sorry for the one that got one, because we kind of look at the one that got five and you think, if that was me, I'd feel a bit sorry for the one that got one. But actually, this is a 1.5 kilogram bag of flour. So if you times that out, so 20-ish, 20-something of those would be one. So if you imagine 20-something of those of pound coins or gold coins or whatever coins you look at, the person with one talent had a lot. And God says that I'm giving you, I'm investing in you all this talent. I'm investing in you all this worth. I'm investing in you all this gold. What will you do with it? What will you do with what I've given you? Will you sit back and think that it's worthless? Will you sit back and go, oh, I'm too busy? Will you sit back and say, I want to be something else? God, why have I only got one talent? I want five. Or will you look at what you've got? Will you go, wow, God, this is amazing that you have given me. This goes beyond my wildest dreams, because I see what you have put in me. I see that you've not invested in me a little, but that you've invested in me a lot. The story says the man that only had one, this big pile, he dug a hole and he buried it. He buried it because he was afraid of his master. And when the man came back, he wasn't very happy. And this is the end of the story. The master said, take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. Because the one that had 5 talents, he doubled his money. He doubled the investment and he'd grown it and he had double again. He had 10 talents. He said, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whoever has will be given more. I wonder this morning, what are you doing with your talent? You know, are you scared? Are you burying it in the ground? Do you not think it's worth anything? Or are you going to build something with it? Are you going to take what God has given you? You know, like the one who had 5 or the one who had 2. Are you going to look at it? Are you going to go, wow, it's amazing. God, what do you want me to do with it? You know, this morning, I don't know, where are you at with your talents? Where are you at with your thinking? Where are you at with ideas? Do you realize the incredible gift that God has on your life? Do you realize who God has made you to be? You know, do you realize God doesn't make mistakes? God doesn't bring you here and say, you know, I just want you to sit here and fill a pew. I just want you to sit here and fill a seat. God says, no, I've invested in you. You know, that picture of that gold, if you can close your eyes and picture what that big pile of gold would look like, that is what God is saying you are worth. That is what God is saying, that you are valuable. That is what God is saying is in your life now, and he wants you to use it. And he's saying, you know what? Don't leave it there. Don't bury it in the ground, but do something with it. Invest it. You know what? Invest it in someone else. If you've got a gift that you can show someone else, you can bring something out of them. You know, if you've got finance, invest your finance. Whatever you have got, invest it. And let's see all the gifts grow, because as we work together, it's incredible what God is going to do.